Andy Warhol, says author Thomas Kudrowski, adored Bloomingdale's. Not necessarily for shopping, you understand. He liked to scout it out.
All the salespeople there, he'd go up, who came in, what did they buy, how much jewelry were they wearing. He wanted to know all the little details.
But Bloomingdale's was just one of Andy's favorite stops in Manhattan. Thomas Kudrowski's book, Andy Warhol's New York City, provides four carefully plotted walking tours of all the New York spots Andy frequented, uptown, midtown, and down. Warhol had left Pittsburgh to come to New York in the late 40s and made this city his own.
We both arrived in New York in 1949, and it wasn't until the mid-50s that I met Andy.
Vito Giallo illustrated the book of Warhol walks. Giallo worked briefly for the artist and later owned a Madison Avenue antique store that became a Warhol haunt.
He used to come in almost every morning. He would always buy something or maybe 50, 60 items at a time. And then if he didn't come in, he would call to say, you know, what came in? Who was there? Who came in to see you? What famous person? What were they wearing? What did they say? He loved gossip. He would even buy things on the phone. I said, oh, I just got a whole pile of green Majolica plates. He said, oh, I want them. I said, well, I got about 40 or 50. He said, send them all.
Such stories about Warhol are what first captivated Kudrowski, poring over Warhol's biography in his high school library in Milwaukee. When he got to New York years later, he called Vito Giallo and anyone else he could find to talk to about the artist. Asking about Warhol in this way, in the sort of everyday manner of where did he go, what did he buy, whom did he see, it gave the author a particular slant on Andy, kind of low to the ground, if you will.
I had a map, a homemade map, with all these million places on it. But Warhol did this and that.
Warhol was a creature of habit. He had easily discernible patterns in his later days when he lived on East 66th Street. And Kudrowski was able to trace the artist's daily route.
Of course, his church, St. Vincent Ferrer, 66th and Lexington Avenue, was one of the first stops. From there, he could start his day.
He'd go over to the Vito Giallo antique store on Madison and 76th to poke around there. After that, he'd visit the Three Guys restaurant, a high-end diner a little further down the avenue.
There he could have scrambled eggs and look over at Ethel Merman, who was sitting on another booth.
Then, walking over to Lexington and downtown, he'd hit Bloomie's.
Oh, God. Basically, yeah. Kind of the highest place you can go, or the most expensive, or the most luxurious. There was no other thing that could compare with that.
And then he went way downtown to work, all this on foot.
Warhol walked from 66th Street up to 76th and Madison, and then down to Union Square every day.
Andy relied on these routines, says Kudrowski. He had one for nightlife in the 70s, after a work day in the factory.
By 5:30, 6 o'clock, at the factory, all the invitations came in.
He and an entourage would head for that night's parties.
The first thing he'd do is scan the room. He'd find the most famous person at the party. Kind of go up right to them, get their pictures taken. They always had someone along to take pictures. Pictures, pictures, pictures. Within a couple minutes, they were out. Later on, Studio 54 would come in. Liza, Halston, Bianca, pictures, pictures, pictures. Excuse himself to the bathroom, out the back door, and in bed. Get home, watching TV, on the phone, tape recording, finding out what the gossip was. So it was really a job to him to promote himself.
Change, of course, is a New York institution, and the city has changed since Warhol was here. But, says Vito Giallo, now an abstract painter, Warhol embraced change, too.
The way he took chances, just listening to himself and not other people, I think that sort of inspired me in my later work. I think of Andy. I'd sometimes say to myself, what would Andy do? He would do this. He wouldn't care what anybody else thought.
And Thomas Kudrowski, he's busy tracing those famous footsteps.
There's a place on 75th Street that's since been kind of razed. They've built up another building, but he lived there early on with his mother.
It's nearly 25 years since he's been gone from this town, and Andy is still 10 steps ahead. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.